Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, June 28th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, two pieces of housekeeping here. The next 2 days, we will be a little bit late with the show. That'll be coming in later. They're not embargoes or anything. But tomorrow, James, when you told me what you were doing, I thought this was unbelievably perfect Broadway kismet. I am going to see a screening of the new Spider-Man Homecoming movie. And what are you going to do tomorrow night? Or I guess it's tonight, Wednesday night.
Yeah, Wednesday night. I will be at Giant Stadium seeing Bono and the Edge and U2.
So I'm seeing a Spider-Man movie. You're seeing a U2 concert. You know, if we could find a really creative director, maybe we could merge those two things into one.
Got an extra $100 million?
Yeah, maybe. If I did, I wouldn't be doing this. So,
but you know, if you ran that, if we got the show together, we ran it a bunch of times, we could get the subsidiary rights.
Ah, well done. Well done. Yes. What are those? Are those like the grand vesting rights? Are they?
Yeah, it was too tired yesterday when we were talking about rights. And when a Broadway show, when you get the rights to put on a Broadway show, those are called the grand rights. The subsidiary rights are the rights vested to you when you do a certain number of performances, and you get subsidiary rights for a number of years after the fact to, you know, make money with in different ways. So I put a note, a blog post from Gordon Firemark, who is a good buddy and entertainment attorney on the left coast, doing musical theater and film and television representation for artists over there in the Los Angeles area. So he wrote a really good blog post back in 2011 on subsidiary rights, and we put it in the show notes in case anybody was still interested in yesterday's news.
Well, I will say, though, James, you did put it in yesterday's show notes, and it wasn't but maybe 10 minutes after the episode was packaged and edited and posted that you were like, you know what? That's not the right kind of right. So it wasn't like you screwed up and somebody else came in. You realized your mistake ahead of time, so I appreciate that.
And I normally
just ignore my mistakes and hope nobody else figures them out.
I heard from a number of my friends today to remind me of subsidiary and grand rights. So.
And I hope you said, check the show notes, already handled. Peace out.
That's right. That's exactly what I did. All right. First up, let's move on to the equity study shows gender and racial discrimination in theater hiring.
Yeah, James, I don't think this will come as a surprise to anybody who's paying attention, but yesterday, Actors Equity released a diversity study of employment on two of its major contracts. This study, which examined the casts of new productions that opened between 2013 and 2015, shows that women and members of color have fewer work opportunities and often draw lower salaries when they do actually find work. The study covers Broadway and production tours, as well as off-Broadway contracts, when equity members make up the entire cast of those off-Broadway productions. In these cases, women of color almost always drew lower average contractual salaries. For example, off-Broadway, women of color reported earning 16% less than the average and the principal in a musical contracts. However, as you know, James, equity doesn't just represent actors. Across this 3-year study period, there were only 38 positions offered to stage managers of color in both Broadway and production tours and off-Broadway. As stage managers, women of color earned 6% less than the Broadway and production tours contractual salary average and 12% less off-Broadway. James, Equity goes on to make key points for hiring both on-Broadway and production tours, as well as off-Broadway. They also released their full data sets for both contract types. I haven't had a super amount of time to really dig into the data yet, but as I think we discussed earlier this week, even though I'm by no means an Equity member, I'm very glad and grateful that Actors Equity is taking seemingly proactive steps to address issues in representation and diversity amongst its members and the hiring practices therein.
And we should not mention, fail to mention that there are other organizations like Theater Development Fund and TKTS, Roundabout Theater Company, And as we talked about the Kilroys earlier this week, mm-hmm. or was it late last week, Theater Development Fund began working to diversify theater box offices by starting an apprenticeship at the TKTS booth. Roundabout Theater Company started a new fellowship program for a variety of backstage jobs. And also Actors Equity hired Nicole Smart as its first diversity director that I think mm-hmm. we talked about last month or so.
We did.
So there are not only just talk about these things, but action. And I think that that is nothing but that is good news that this is – we're aware of this issue and that there are steps being taken to rectify it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm looking forward to seeing what comes of this study and digging into the data a little bit more and kind of seeing the nuts and bolts of it. But this is definitely a really good thing from Actors Equity. And I have been continually impressed with the work they've done over the last few years as they've tried to treat their membership properly.
All right. Next up, Michael Moore donates $10,000 to the Public Theater.
Yeah, this is kind of just came out of nowhere. Yesterday, Michael Moore took to Twitter to share that he had donated $10,000 to the Public Theater. His Twitter message said, "So here's my donation and sponsorship to the Public Shakespeare in the Park in support of their right to free speech." He posted a picture of the check, blurred out or actually redacted all of the, you know,
routing numbers,
you know, routing numbers and all that stuff. But it just says the Public Theater, $10,000, my sponsorship. I think, James, that if I hadn't been talking about Scott Rudin stuff so much lately, I would have appreciated this maybe slightly more. But considering the topic and the tagline of his upcoming Broadway show, I am a little cynical in saying this might be a little bit of a marketing ploy. But nonetheless, it is a marketing ploy that I think many in the arts communities appreciate either way, especially on the news of Delta Airlines and Bank of America pulling financial support of the Public Theater following the Donald Trump-themed Shakespeare in the Park production of Julius Caesar. But knowing Michael Moore as well as people in, aware of his public persona do, I don't think that there was anything necessarily that he wouldn't have done anyway, but the timing's interesting. His Broadway show starts in a month, and, you know, just a little cynicalness. I'm learning that from you, James. I wasn't cynical about these things before we started doing this show, and you kind of always bring that up, but good for him either way.
I'm a little verklempt. It brings a tear to my eye, this story, because not only did he get great press for his upcoming show, but he was actually able to take a tax deduction on top of it.
God, you really are one cynical SOB.
All right. Next up, a little sorbet to cleanse the palate. Hugh Jackman, Zac Efron, Kiala Settle, and more share the Greatest Showman teasers.
Yeah, James, yesterday the stars of the upcoming movie musical The Greatest Showman on Earth did what they called a trapeze teaser. Never heard of it before, but this is a movie that focuses on P.T. Barnum. But what they did was, is in succession, they shared a short glimpse of their upcoming trailer. It started with Hugh Jackman a little after 9 a.m. yesterday morning. He posted a little clip. Then he sent it over to Zendaya, who then passed the baton to Zac Efron, who was followed by Pasek and Paul before the great and glorious Kiala Settle finished it off with a teaser that said that the full trailer will debut on Entertainment Tonight. James, I knew that Kiala had been involved with the early readings of the film and that she was ultimately cast in it. But based off of this trailer, where she basically sassily riffs throughout the entire thing before we get a look of her in this gorgeous bearded lady costume, it looks like she has a rather large role in the film, bigger than I anticipated, which is awesome. You know, she's really the only Broadway, you know, specific person that was involved in this little teaser thing. So I'm super excited. I'm even more excited about this than I had been before. The Greatest Showman on Earth features an original score by Tony and Oscar winners Bench Pasek and Justin Paul, and will be released on Christmas of 2017.
So I know that lots of people are looking forward to this, and we're happy that it's actually coming to being. And Pasek and Paul, yet again, learning to operate that cloning machine
Yeah, they're just everywhere, aren't they?
They're like, I'm totally blank. Who's the director who directs everything?
Oh, Ivo Vanova.
Ivo Vanova, that's right.
We haven't said his name in a few weeks, so maybe yes. his duplicator has stopped working.
Well, maybe Ivo Vanova is George Takei.
Okay, maybe. Sure, why not? Yesterday, East-West players in the Japanese-American Cultural and Community Center announced that the legendary George Takei would lead the company of Allegiance in the show's Los Angeles premiere early next year. The show will run from February 21st through April 1st of 2018 at the Aratani Theater in L.A. James, as we know, the musical by Mark Aceto, Jay Kuo, and Lorenzo Theone follows a Japanese-American family forced into an internment camp following the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Takei's own childhood was an inspiration for this story. And I think I did a little checking. I couldn't find anything to go against this, but I think he's been a part of the cast of every production thus far, from the out-of-town tryouts to Broadway to a few other regional ones and now to L.A. Ticketing information and additional casting will be announced soon. For more information, visit allegiancemusical.com/LA. We will also have that link in the show notes at broadwayradio.com if you want to check it out.
All right, and the way to start every morning is with a little Norm Lewis and Carolee Carmello as they perform from Sweeney Todd on GMA.
Yeah, I take that back. It was not GMA. It was the Today Show. I apologize. I screwed that up in the script. And here's why I should have known. Because Carolee and Norm were introduced by Hoda Kotb. And Kathy Lee Gifford, if you remember, okay, I want that story off air. Kathy Lee Gifford, you remember, wrote the music for the musical, or maybe she wrote the book, I don't remember, for the musical Scandalous, which starred Carolee Carmello. So they had a nice little moment there. But beside the point, Norm and Carolee sang a little Priest from Sweeney Todd from this Barrows Street intimate off-Broadway production where you're actually in a pie shop. They talked a little bit about how different it was, how they had to relearn how to act because you literally are so close to these audience members that you can't look over somebody's head. You have to look them in the eye. There is no amplification. So it was really, really cool. And to see these two take on those roles is awesome. James, I'm coming up to New York sometime in either October or November. And even though this is an off-Broadway show scheduled to run through New Year's Eve, I think I've got to find a way to see this because I love both Norm and Carolee. There's no word if they will still be there. Their original contracts went through August before the show was extended to December 31st. So I'm fingers crossed that they will continue with it through the end of the year.
That's very cool. I have not seen this yet. Michael Portantier gave it a total rave. Said, I think that he said on This Week on Broadway that it's the best thing he has ever seen.
No, he didn't say.
I think that's what he said.
Not just the best Sweeney Todd, the best thing he's ever seen.
I think he said that's the best thing he has ever seen.
He's seen a few shows in his day, so I think that's a pretty startling review if that's what he said. Well, that's awesome.
All right, so there's nowhere to go from there, so we better get out of here.
Well, there's one place to go from there, James, and that is to beautiful, sunny Orlando, Florida, because not only is that where I make my home, but that is the home of both the best performance by an actress and best performance by an actor winner at the Jimmy Awards from Monday night.
Really?
Sophia Deller and Tony Marino, that they both won the Central Florida Applause Awards. And they won the Jimmy Awards on Monday night over at the Minskoff Theater that was hosted by Ben Platt. We've talked about that a little bit throughout the weeks and months leading up to it. But Central Florida's own won. They had their awards ceremony down at the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts a couple weeks ago. Then they flew up to New York and they won there too. So I got to say, James, Central Florida representing a little bit here. We're more than just Disney and Universal. We got some serious thespianic talent.
Yeah, that is awesome. And I'm so excited you brought that up. Now we can get out of here.
Yeah, Yeah, okay, we're fine. Yeah. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something I Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending some of your Wednesday with us, and we'll be back and talk with you a little bit later on Thursday.